Hello everyone, this is Linda Bunnell with the IHDS, and I'm here today with Darshana, and we're doing a feature the teacher. I kind of like how that rhymes, so that's what I'm going to use. And so I just thought it would be nice to take the opportunity to for the public, for people to get to know some of the teachers that work at the IHDS. And so today Darshana is here. So I'd like to just ask you a question, Darshana, welcome you and ask you a question to get the conversation started. And my first question is, where were you at in your life when you first came to human design?
Hi, Linda. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me here, and it's wonderful to have an opportunity to share with you and others about my journey. Where was I at when I first met human design? I've had sort of a strange or eclectic journey through life, and it's always been oriented towards the development of self. Or basically, I had a very difficult childhood, and so I wanted to it what it did, the gift of that, was it oriented me towards wanting to understand what it was that we were doing here, what the meaning of existence was, how, in a way, the whole orientation of having a mystical way of a sense of purpose for this existence. And so I had been through many, many different modalities and lived in spiritual communities. And at the time human design rolled into my life, I was involved in another system that had been working deeply with the understanding of essence, integrating psychology with spirituality, sort of trying to bring in form psychology and the transcendent, the spiritual, which is like, the consciousness, the experience of consciousness. And what I noticed was that it wasn't fulfilling me. It wasn't There was something still not clear for me through it. I was still seeking. And then a friend of mine who was involved in this other system shared about human design with me. And it was just a seed, it wasn't really a like big revelation, because it took a process of time. And in looking back, it was right at my Chiron return. Or that, just as I was rolling into my Chiron. So there was this process already beginning energetically for me. And so, of course, the perfection of existence, the little seed was planted that would bring in the deepening in my way of working, which is going really in a very focused way, deeper and deeper into something. So I guess it was, I don't know, maybe a year after he told me about it, that I was at the summer house. I live in Denmark, and our summer house is on a little island in the middle of a sea called the Kattegat. And so I was sitting out in the garden with my computer, searching for everything I could find on human design, printing it out, reading and reading and reading. And just from that moment, which was in the summer of 2005, I've been completely, with my focus in just going deeper and deeper into the understanding of design, and also the living of it, the experience, like filling myself into the room of it. And so, yeah, so that's a start of where I was at.
Okay, so then that answered another question I had about how did you find it, or how did it find you? And so how did it change your life? And maybe you could talk a bit about the stages of transformation over the first 7 years.
Yeah, well, again, it was it's so connected with what was actually happening, like that I was on my in the process of my Chiron return. At that time, my husband's parents were passing away, his father in 05, which is when I met human design, and his mom in 06. And so at that with we have been caring very much for them, taking care of them. And when they were gone, suddenly, and my son, who is at that time was old enough that he was, that was 10 years ago. Yeah, so he was just finishing up with school. It kind of felt like I was a teenager ready to leave home, if that makes any sense. I mean, I kind of felt like, you know, it's like, okay, I can do anything I want. I can go and it's like I've got my whole life ahead of me, which might seem sort of odd to think when you're 50. But that's how it felt to me. And that then really was a repeat of, in a much healthier, more grounded, more integrated way than when I left home the first time when I was, you know, 18 and or 17. So the period of 7 years, now it's been, we're in 2015, now it's been 10 years for me. It is truly a process of, what would you call it? It's like, I had been on a path that was about understanding, about the integration of the self and awareness and the hope or the direction. We called it enlightenment, you know, to bring light in so that you would become aware of your choices, aware of your movement, aware of the impact of what you do in the world. And so much of my life, there had been so much complication and distortion and difficulty throughout my early years that my personality was very impacted by that. You know, the desire to find an understanding or a peace, to become at peace with myself and to be a contribution, to have my life make a difference, was a strong drive. And yet I kept bumping into all these conditioning factors that had modified my behavior into inability to achieve precisely that. Clarity of purpose, clarity of mind, clarity of expression. And now on the other side of that sort of storm, you could say, you know, or hero's journey, if we were to use Joseph Campbell's terminology, I see the value of the journey, you know, moving through all those challenges, all those difficulties. That deconditioning process is part of the richness of our human existence, part of what actually contributes to our uniqueness and what we have here to offer. I have on my design, I have in my design moon, I have the gate of oppression, gate 47 in the sixth line, which is the line of futility. Life is an ordeal without hope of realization. And so, of course, I'm going to meet that thematic in life. Going to be there because it's present, it's an energetic that's present in my design. And when I didn't understand that, when I was living it sort of in the veil of that whole experience of existence, it was oppression. Human design and this 7 years of conditioning has helped me to see how living with an access to that energetic, that expression, that field of energy has given me the possibility to really see it and not be it, to be able to see it in the world, see it in myself, but not be buried under it and hopeless under it and lost under it, and to be able to sense that with others and then be this little projector self that I am, you know, a guide and a support, again, without having the heavy duty conditioning, which for me, you know, I have gate 27 in an open sacral center. I have this gate of caring. You know, I can care and care and care and support and want to help and do so much for others, like the black hole of others. You know, it's like it's endless. And that would also feel very hopeless to me because I felt like it never really made a difference. It just kept being there. But now, again, through understanding with design, this deconditioning process, I could see how I needed to, or I was here to direct myself towards where I was recognized, where I could be successful, and that my own inner knowing would guide me in that. So there were times during that 7-year process where Especially because I began the education with you, Linda, which was so wonderful. I mean, I began the education immediately. You know, I started with linear design and went through each of these things, and the analyst training, I think, came a year after I had completed the foundational courses. And then when I finished my analyst training, and there was, you know, I was sort of like going, okay, no, I'm ready to do this. And yet I was scared to do it because I didn't know if I had enough depth, you know, if I had integrated the knowledge enough that I would actually be speaking truth instead of just words. And then not much happened, you know. It went through, and that again is, it was in retrospect. And I mean, when you look at it in the middle of it, you're like going, what's going on? But in retrospect, I see it pulled me into another level of deconditioning to see truly, and this was what came up for me. This was like my core truth as I started with it, was I do not want to live another day. I'm 50, I've got who knows how long. Maybe I'm lucky I go another 50 years, and I'm only halfway through the process of living in this form. But I do not want to live another day not being true me, not being someone who is not conditioned and living out of all this noise that life puts into us and distracts us away from who we are and what our purpose is and what our preciousness is, the beauty that lives within each of us. And so that as these difficult times came through, like this, like being lost after the analyst training was done, helped me to go in and make choices that directed me towards examining this, looking at that, exploring another part of myself. So now I end up on the other side of the journey at this point in time, talking to you. And so, yeah, it's been intense. It's been amazing. You know, I mean, those words always sometimes seem so like catching everything, you know, amazing. But it's like so rich and full and hard deconditioning. But there's nothing more rewarding, more fulfilling, more like that sense of where you just come back and fall back into yourself and you can be in life and go, it's okay. I'm actually here walking through life, here experiencing it and loving it and being challenged by it, and still everything's okay. So that was my 7 year plus another 3 years journey with that.
Thank you. Yeah, it can be quite an intense journey. I was really relating to what you were saying about the conditioning from childhood, and I think for me, finding human design and in the early days, it was just a wonderful way to just be okay with who you are. You know, it's okay. It's all okay. And it reminds me of something Ross said a while years ago. And he said he was traveling on an airplane, and he was sitting next to somebody, and she turned to him and asked him, so what do you do? And he looked at her and he said, well, I tell everybody it'll be okay. And that is really where you get to, I think, at the other side of the intense deconditioning process, is that you get to a place where it's like, oh, all of this is just okay. And the stories drop away, and all the angst begins to drop away. And you just, for me, you know, you just find a sense of peace about life. And it still takes all of its twists and turns and takes you on ups and downs. Being an emotional being, I go on those rides all the time. But at the end, it's like, it's all okay, no matter the outcome. So, all right. So when you teach, Darshana, what do you like your students to take away from your teaching, other than strategy and authority? We can always answer the question with that, but is there anything you'd like to add to that, to what you've already talked about what, you know, what gives you satisfaction or gratification or whatever, or makes you feel like a successful teacher, since you're a projector, you know, what is it that you'd like your students to take away from your classes? I don't know, that's a pretty general, broad question, but maybe something will hit you, an aha.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, as a projector, there is, if someone chooses to work with me, you know, if someone's drawn or recognizes me and feels that I'm someone who would be part of their journey, I go in with my, you know, I have a left mind, my focus. I have such a very, you know, it's like, and I've got the channel of transformation, you know, and then I've got my moon, besides my design moon, which is this one of sort of futility and oppression. My personality moon is the mystical moon. It's the 54-4, and that drives that channel for me. So my, and so there is this great sense of wanting to bring light, to bring transformation to the people who, and now that sounds presumptuous. I don't mean that I would bring transformation, but I would like to facilitate the beginning of the freedom from oppression in my students. You know, the oppression of the past, the oppression of the ideas that we've taken in, even in education. You know, I mean, we go into these educational systems with the idea that we have to perform, that we have to achieve something, that the idea of an education system that was created, what, something like 200 years ago, when the world was thinking there was one way that a human could learn, and that we were not unique, individuated beings. My son is a emotional manifester, beautiful guy, on the cross of healing. He brought a lot of healing to my life. And one of the healings that came in, because he had dyslexia, was the understanding of, I went to a lot of courses to understand what dyslexia was, and so I could support him in his journey. And they, one of the courses I took, and a movement within this field was, they said, this is, we don't call this a handicap or a learning disability. We call it students who learn differently. And that's kind of my core there. It's like, we all learn differently. We all are here to express differently and to be unique. And that would be what I would hope to nurture in each of my students, is the understanding that who you are right now and the way that you are seeing human design, seeing yourself, seeing the way you do your homework, seeing the way you are capable of showing up to class or not, seeing the way that you, you know, if you're listening to record, all the elements that learning something includes is unique to you. And it's not for me to judge that. I mean, we do have a certification process. We do have something that we want to have an understanding that the student has a grasp of these essential core elements, so that we know that the knowledge is being paid forward, moved forward as true as possible to the original knowledge. But beyond that, I want to support uniqueness. My Chiron return that I was mentioning before, it's on the cross of individualism. I am born on the cross of service. So I really see myself. I'm here to be in service of individualism with this channel that I have, the channel of transformation and the channel of judgment, of aligning the pattern. I'm here to align the pattern, and with a pressurized root that I have, bring this energy, this fuel for transformation in others, to my tribe. So I feel deeply connected to each student that comes into my class. I feel that I have there's like this preciousness, each being inside. You know, we are this vulnerable, hopeful, innocent being that is here simply to live life. And if you're drawn into the human design system, as in particular with the different courses that I teach, some are analyst training, some are simply knowledge courses, understanding a deeper way, in a deeper way, the human design way of viewing the world, then if you are drawn to this, it's because there's something in you that is aware that you can open to more, that there is a way to, like the oyster and the pearl or something like that, to open up to this precious beauty that each unique being has. And we unfortunately so often aren't seen that way, and we're not seeing it in others. I like that what you said about Ra. You know, I'm here to tell people it's okay. And I would say, do you remember back in the 60s or 70s, whenever it was, I studied this in grad school, Eric Berne, who wrote a book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And I think that's kind of it, you know. We are okay as we are. And actually, that's the beauty, that you're weird, that you do things differently, that you talk differently, that your body's big or small, your hair is blonde or gray, or who cares? We're all consciousness in form. We're all just this shining, exquisite awareness that is here to live out life in this funny little bioform called a body, and be in a relational field where we interact with others and contribute with others who we are, and take in the beauty of the expression, or the beauty, even if it seems very kind of off and ugly in the way that's being expressed in the moment by another. It's just this human journey. So that's, I don't know if that sort of answered the question. I can get sort of wandering around in my idea of existence, because bottom line is really that we are each unique and precious, and it's okay to be who we are. And that's, you know, that's love yourself. That's resting back into your being and being held in a sense of nourishment and of by life and by your own love, your own acceptance of yourself.
Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you. Yeah, it really just come down to that. We're all just okay, and it will be okay. So I suppose we ought to take a moment to talk about the classes that you're teaching coming up here pretty soon. I've been enjoying the cosmology classes that you've taught, and you've got something coming up called, you know, Six Mystical Ways. One of the things that I love about cosmology is it gives you sort of the mystical picture of human design and where it comes from, and cosmological picture and the mystical picture. And it's just a beautiful journey. It just shows us how we are connected with the totality. And I think that helps me anyway, and I think it helps other people to also feel that okayness. You know, everything is fine. It's all unfolding just perfectly and beautifully, and we are all connected back to that original source, and we're on this journey together, and there is a purpose to it all. So that's one of the things. And it just really touches my soul to go through those cosmology courses. And Ra wanted to share those with the world. I mean, that's one of his last things that he, one of his last journeys that he took and shared with us, was that, you know, he kind of kept he used to call them the gray courses and the cosmological side of things to himself, because he never wanted to be seen as a guru or a mystic or any of those things. He never wanted to be worshipped. He wanted the knowledge to stand on its own. So he didn't share too much about that. But then a few years before he died, he did. He wanted that to go out, because he felt that it was also a very important aspect. And he shared the logical and the mechanical side of human design. And then of course, he shared the cosmology side of it. So now we're bringing those cosmology courses out to the world, certifying people so that they can share them with the other people and continue the story of the origin of human design. So I just think you do a great job of sharing that material with people and teaching that material. And so you're doing the six mystical ways. You're also doing a Godhead clinic. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that too. And then of course, back to the mechanical, you're doing PTL level 3. So I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you and let you just touch on those three topics so people can get a little bit of an understanding of what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, the cosmology courses are so fun. I mean, they're so deep and rich and expansive. And I love working with them. The Godhead course, the clinic, kind of came out of the first course in the Ray of Cosmology, the Bantu course that Linda was teaching and I was assisting in earlier this year. And that was, or maybe it was last year, I can't remember, but recently. And that was, you know, I found myself really fascinated by the way that we can begin to understand the energetics. I mean, if we go back down to it, you know, each of these aspects of human design are simply an attempt to create an understanding through the filter of this human consciousness, this mind that we have, of what the energetics are of existence. And that we then again, as humans, we have to relate to it. We need to put words on it. We have to be able to tell stories about it, you know, so we can communicate with others. And so when you're born at a certain time on a certain place on the planet, the neutrino feed that's coming in from our sun and from deep space passes through, as we know through looking at the body graph, various planets, and we see the expression of that through the different gates, our hexagrams that are in our design, and then form our definition and our type and all these wonderful things. But there's also a layer of energetics that Ra was able to identify that surround the Earth that have a qualitative field that we can attribute to different gods and goddesses, as they have been, that the gods and goddesses are somehow our way of describing in a storytelling way, you could say, or you know, creating a myth about it, what that energy is. So when we in the clinic go through this, it's not going to be a deep course of the Godheads. It'll be an overview of that so that you get a grasp of it, you know, get an understanding of what is a Godhead. And then how, what it is, what, when you were born, you know, each of you will look at your charts and I'll, you know, go through an analysis of your chart through the expression of this Godhead. And so that's kind of that. I don't know if that was clear enough, but that it is a unique, you have your own Godhead that is yours, that is also an aspect of your being here, and knowing it is helpful. Knowing it is, it just adds another layer of understanding of how your uniqueness is expressed and moves through life. And then the other, so that's just sort of a separate clinic that I'm doing. And then there's the mystical way, the six mystical ways, which is part of the certification courses for Ray of Cosmology. And this was, as Linda, you were saying, this journey that Ra had into the framework of our human spirituality, this particular one. What is it that makes us need to, that feels driven to, that feels a need to understand what we're doing here through through spirituality or through a way, some way that is transcendent to our human life, you know, a religion, a philosophy. There's no religion or philosophy or spiritual understanding that is on Earth that doesn't somehow fit into this mystical way. It's all part of it because it's all coming from gate 19. This pressurized gate, we're in down in the root, right? So it's a fuel, it's a pressure. And gate 19, the gate of approach, it's the pressure, tribal pressure, to have bonds, have support, mutual support systems for our tribe so that we can understand and nurture our young ones and care for our old ones and have a relationship to the mystical, to what is beyond us. And that has been part of the human journey, truly, since we began. You know, if we go back, if you look at the Native American teachings, you know, where there's grandfather spirit and there's grandmother earth and there's so many ways that we have had of creating a relationship with that which is around us. And it's mystical. It really gives us a sense of how we can have a relationship with it, because ultimately it's all energy, but we have consciousness. We have self-reflected consciousness. We are aware of ourselves in relationship to each of these things. And then we form a way for that relationship to be expressed and solidified to create some sort of bonding, some sort of community. It's fascinating. It really is. So it would be real fun to have you guys join me in that. I'm really looking forward to working with it. It's you know, and also because we're coming up on 2027, which is when the pressure from gate 19 is going to begin to be cut off from gate 49, which is, you know, the gate of principles, the gate of revolution, the 49, which leads right up into our tribal channel, the 4037, that channel of community. And not, you know, and I don't feel it's in any way a doomsday kind of thing, you know, like, ooh, everything's going to change and stuff. Because when we have awareness, we're just simply moving through life, you know. While we watch the intensity of these changes as time approaches to this pivot point, this marker, when we can have a sense of what's happening, it will give us more of an ability to move through it with ease and to support those who are in our life to move through it with ease instead of, you know, feeling like you've been thrown into the water without being able to swim. No, you'll be able to swim. You know, you'll be able to be present and remain yourself and find your way through it in a richness. So, yeah, that's the mystical way. And then I'll be doing the PTL3 class, the Incarnation Cross class. And that also is, in a way, kind of falls into alignment with each of these other elements. I mean, we're here to, as I was sharing about myself, I'm here on the cross of service. And there's these four gates, you know, that are the sun and the earth on the design and personality side that are put together and create a thematic. And the everybody has an incarnation cross. And that is this thematic then in your life. Really interesting how accurate it is, you know, as you find out what yours is, as you work through the process of what is an incarnation cross and how does it get put together? What does it mean, a right angle or a left angle or a juxtaposition? And start understanding the structure of it. It then gives you a sense of how it moves through you, how it moves through those who you know. And helps make sense of things. Ultimately, I think that's the whole thing for me, is like human design just helps make sense out of all of this huge life that we're living. There's so much here and we can become so lost in it. And human design says, well, actually, Darshana, you're here to be of service. Okay, I'll be of service. You know, my being's like, yeah, I'll be of service. And my gate 27 says, I'll be of service by caring for people. And my gate 3 says, I'll be of service by bringing mutation. But then I learned through human design, ah, no, there's an inner authority. Your splenic awareness. You need to return into your strategy of being recognized and return into your authority of intuitive awareness to know where to bring my caring and my mutation. It's exciting, you know, all of these things just like combs out the tangled web of our life. And then we shine.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. Combs out the tangled web of life. I like that. And yeah, I was just noticing too how interesting how all these three courses really do tie in together so beautifully with the Incarnation Cross, because ultimately that's what we are here to live out, you know, and through the realignment of our lives through human design, through strategy and authority, then we get to express, we just naturally express our Incarnation Cross, and that's where we want to get to. So anyway, I think we probably should close for now. And I hope everyone has enjoyed listening to our conversation and getting to know Darshana a bit. And thank you again for joining me today. It's lovely to talk to you. And if you'd like to say goodbye to everybody, I'll just let you have the microphone for a moment.
Yeah, well, thank you, Linda. You were my first teacher, and you gave me my reading, and so you hold a very special place in my heart because you're part of this amazing, there's that adjective again, amazing, the very nourishing and rich and wondrous journey that I've been on through human design. And I really look forward to those who might be, who it's correct for, you know, listen to your inner authority and follow your strategy and see where you're moved, because we don't need to fear anything. We just need to move from the truth of ourselves. And if your truth guides you towards me, that's so cool, because then we'll have fun together, and I will be deeply enriched by being part of your life for that time. So, yeah. Okay, so then I say goodbye for now. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. And bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.